Have you ever lost anything before? Just the other day, I reached for my sunglasses in my car, and I'm like, where did they go? I hate losing things. Growing up, I used to lose things all the time. My dad would always be on my case for losing stuff. And so I got where I have a system where I put things in right places, and I create a routine and a habit so I can remember where things are at. Keys are supposed to be one place, sunglasses. I know it seems a little OCD, but you got to do what you got to do sometimes. And so that's limited. But when I lose things, oh, that so frustrates me. I get mad at myself. And then I had to start tracing back. I can't find my sunglasses. So now I got to be one of those people who drive down the road on the highway in the bright of day with no sunglasses on, squinting. And everybody who drives by looks at you, thinks you're mad at them. And then they're not nice. But anyway, and so I'm thinking, where are my sunglasses? I go back in the house and I ask my wife, have you seen my sunglasses? No. I'm walking through the house, can't find them. I start backtracking. I go to the places I've been the day before that I remember seeing them. Because I'm trying, when was the last time? You ever done that? When was the last time that I've seen those sunglasses? Well, I remember being here. So I drove to a restaurant that we ate the night before, walked in, closed. I was too early, so I had to come back later. Have you found them? No, they looked everywhere. Couldn't find them. I eventually found them. They were under my seat. Somehow those sunglasses dropped and rolled. Have you ever had something, it's like it had a mind of its own? Like, how in the world? I couldn't do that if I had to, 20 different tries. And they got caught under the seat that I was sitting in. Close, but out of reach. Right there the whole time, but I was not aware of it. And here I am looking, driving, thinking, getting frustrated because I lost something. You know, I was all prepared to start a new series today, but the Lord dropped this on my heart. And this simple phrase, He's the finder of lost things. He's the finder of lost things. Have you lost anything? Might not be your sunglasses. Might be your dreams. Might be hope. Might be the joy that you used to have. I mean, in the Old Testament, David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know, even in our walk with God, we can lose some stuff. We can lose some stuff. And it could be nearby the whole time, but out of sight, out of mind. We just don't realize it. We can't get to it. And we get frustrated, and we're trying to figure out, and we start trying to retrace our own steps. How do we regain those things that God wants us to have? Not everything, some stuff God didn't want you to have. Some stuff, it's not like, oh, I lost my love and they married somebody else, I'm going to go get them back. No, leave that alone. That's just, don't get weird with it. Amen. But there's some things I believe that we can lose in life that God didn't want you to lose, and He wants you to be restored in that area of your life. It might not be specific events. Maybe it's what the event took out of you. Have you ever had that happen? Maybe an experience, maybe a bad relationship, maybe a failure, maybe I got fired from my job and it's just something, maybe a lost love, whatever it might be, and it took something out of you. You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and I'll just use this as a reference, but he talked about Luke's Gospel 15, about how a woman who lost a coin, and she lit a candle, cleaned up the dust, and begin to pursue what she was looking for. I think that if we don't take into context, if I'm not aware, God, show me what I'm missing, and begin to pursue what He has for us. Don't settle for the coins that you have, because that coin represents things of value. And if you had 10 coins and you're down to 9, you could easily let the devil talk you into, at least you got 9, forget about the 1. But I'm telling you, I believe it's the heart of your Father that if He wanted you to have 10 valuable coins in your life, that He wants you to begin to look for the 1 that's lost. You might have 9 areas of your life that are just doing good. And you say, well, 9 out of 10 areas aren't too bad. But if God wanted you to live life and paid for by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, for you have 10 areas of your life to have great value, for you to have those activated in your life, I'm going to encourage you, don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. It's easy to say, well, I remember I used to be happy. I got good memories. I used to be blessed. I'll just have those good memories. I used to have those things, but I don't have them anymore. I've lost them. No, let's not be that way. I'm not talking about being greedy. Greed is wanting something that someone else has that doesn't belong to you. But I'm saying that if God's giving you the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, let's live with joy in our life. Amen. If the peace of God that exceeds your understanding is keeping your heart, mind, and soul, and you find yourself in the journey of life and you've lost that peace and you find yourself in turmoil and drama every corner and every place you turn, let's find that peace again. Let's get the peace of God. Let's get the joy of God. Let's get the rest of God. Let's get the fulfillment of God. Let's get those things that God had given us in the past that the John 10:10 Jesus said, a thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, we can't let the thief get away with anything. Did you hear me? I think as Christians, we can't be passive. And we can't sit back and say, oh man, the devil's really worked on me. Like the dear lady who got in testimonial line and she said, oh man, I've had the devil running this week. And amen, sister. He's been chasing me every day. Some people, we give testimonies on what the devil's doing. And we think victory is running away from the devil. We think victory is escaping from his traps. And I'm not saying God doesn't want you being trapped by the enemy. But what we see through the Word of God is life, your Christian walk is not that you're empowered to run away. You're empowered to have victory over. Did you hear me? I mean, let's get real. When Jesus came out of the water baptism and the Holy Spirit, like they saw a vision, an image of a dove representing the Holy Spirit come upon him, you know what the first step was? Let's take on the devil. When you break it down into the way we would say it, it's let's get away for 40 days and wait till he shows up. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit drove or directed for Jesus to go to the wilderness to be tempted. Why? He wasn't running from a fight. He was running to the fight and saying, I'm not going to spend my life in ministry avoiding you. I'm going to take you here and now. Too many times we're running from any fights and say, well, I know he's worked on me, but at least I survived it. And, you know, I learned to appreciate what I have left over. I'm glad you can appreciate things when you pick up the scraps of what's left over. But don't settle for that. Don't stay there. Rise up within yourself and say, wait a minute. God didn't call me to live with the scraps of the covenant. God didn't call you to live with the remaining scraps from the fight. No, he wants you to come away with all that he has for you to the full. We saw that a few weeks ago. To the full and to a place of enjoying it and sharing it with others. Did you hear me? There's plenty. There's plenty in the house of God for you. And though the devil's told you, you'll never have it back. You'll never feel clean. You'll never feel worthy. You'll never be happy. You'll never be free. I'm here to tell you today that he's a liar, the father of all lies, and there's no truth in him. And you too can have it restored in your life because your God, he's the restorer. He's the finder of lost coins. Say, he's the finder of lost coins. Has the devil ever told you that you're never will get back or never have what you lost before? Well, the Bible says if you catch a thief, he has to restore it. Multiply sevenfold. You have to, if you catch a thief, he has to restore it. So we got to operate in a sense of power, not weakness. We got to be passive to the Spirit of God, but aggressive for the things of life. Did you hear me? Let me say that again. When it comes to the Spirit of God, you got to be responsive. You don't tell him, he leads you. Led by the Spirit. We need to be passive in that and aggressive to the things that he tells us to do. If you look at it, and I know this is not politically correct, but if you look at this contextually, there is a feminine masculine thing happening simultaneously. There is a submissive and an authority thing happening simultaneously. There is the centurion and soldier said, I am a man under authority and a man over authority. The struggle we have is we choose one, and God wants us to operate in both. But we got to know what areas in what to operate correctly. To the things of God, you should be submissive. All right, Lord, you said it. I'll respond. I'll obey. I'm submissive. But then once you move out of that direction of submission to him, then you move into a place of authority. Now I'm not being passive with that. I'm passive with him. I submit. I surrender. I'm worshiping you. I'm waiting. What is it? I am letting you know that you are Lord. See, a lot of Christians want Jesus to be their Savior, the forgiver of their sins, but they don't want him to be Lord. And for men, we struggle with that because a lot of men struggle with their masculinity because they feel if they ever come in submission to anything of a greater authority, that they lose their authority within themselves. But when you come under a greater authority of God, he actually strengthens your authority in this world. It's a simultaneous thing that's happening. Centurion soldier said, I am a man under authority and over authority. And what God wants you to do to be able to rescue what God has for you to restore, you have to have authority. Jesus said it this way when he cast out a demon. He said, a strong man, which means the devil has strength. You and yourself are no comparison and no competition for the enemy and the carnality of you. But in the anointing of God, he's no competition for you. Jesus said, the stronger man is secure with all his deeds until a stronger than he shows up. So we don't approach life submissively and passively. Some of us are naturally passive, and we'll just let everything come to us, good or bad, and we just kind of deal with it. Some of us are naturally aggressive, and we just go after everything. And we have to learn the balance between the two. Because if you're only aggressive, you'll get ahead of God, and you'll be out on your own, and you're going to get your teeth kicked in. Because you're not finding the mind of God. David had that happen. He went before God and said, we have an army. What do? God said, go, and I'll give you victory. David went out. He didn't go out there and say, guys, Jesus said that I'm supposed to win. Please let us win. Please. No, 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 no. He pulled out the sword and said, who's going to die first? I know we laugh about that in church because in the church Christian world, what we have done, we have become so passive. And we wonder why we get our teeth kicked in the world. Are you listening? We have to bring the masculinity of God back into the house of God. God never called you to be passive everywhere. He wants you to be sensitive to him, thin skin, you could say, to him, but thick skin to everybody else. Do you know what we end up doing? We invert that. We reverse that, and we find ourselves being thick skin to God, where we're not sensitive to him at all. See, if you're thin skinned to somebody, even their nuance of look, you can affect you. If you're sensitive to somebody's needs, then just they don't even have to say it, and you become aware of it. Maybe you can understand it from this perspective. Maybe you had a parent. I had a parent. My dad, he had a look. Any parents, you got looks? They don't have to say it. I remember growing up, there's always that weird sound of the belt coming on. You know what I mean? But that's a bad sound. But there's a place where you get the look before the belt, right? And when you see the look, if you're sensitive to the situation, then the look reminds you something's not right. Right? You get the sense of, right? So we have a tendency we can be sensitive to everybody around us. And we're not sensitive to God at all. But God wants us to be thin-skinned or sensitive to the things of God, to him, his word, and thick-skinned that if people say something against you, it doesn't rock your world. See, we let people and problems and issues and difficulties or disappointments rock our world. We're letting them dictate the direction of our ship. Your true north should be defined by the word of God. And when you're sensitive to the things of God and the word of God, as you're reading, all of a sudden something will jump out and he'll speak to your heart. You're like, all right, Lord, thank you. And David said, what should I do? And God said, go. And David went out and had victory. Short time afterwards, they came back. And David said, oh, they should never have done that. He grabbed his weapons, his soldiers, his men, and went out to battle and lost. And came back and said, God, what happened? God said, I didn't tell you to go the second time. There's a balance here. There's a balance here. Simultaneously, if you're a masculine guy, you can also be sensitive. I know you can. Because you see masculine men with their little children. They melt, don't they? But the thing is, You being sensitive doesn't mean you're not masculine if it's done in the right place and the right time. Now, if you take that sappiness or that sensitivity, you take it every place you go, you're going to get your teeth knocked in. And if you're sensitive and you just sense people's feelings and you just sense, you're aware of everything around them, if you take that to the world, you're going to get messed up. You have to learn to be masculine. You have to learn to be strong and courageous, Joshua 1. Am I speaking to anybody today? That's why we all need each other, because some people gravitate more Aries than the others. Some are naturally strong. Some are naturally passive. Together, iron sharpens iron. And we all benefit. It's the connection of each other that brings us stronger to each other. And so then where you want to, why is this happening to me? Why are they, you need somebody to get in your face and say, dry it up. You're going to let the devil kick your teeth in? I say, let's take the sword of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and let's take that sword, the Word of God, and let's do some battle, and let's let the devil know he should have never messed with you. And those of you who are, you're like, I'm going to war. You need somebody to say, wait a minute. This is not the time to go to war, because the devil has a way of tricking you, getting you to jump. And now you're jumping to battles that God never intended you to jump in. That's why Hebrews 12 says, run the race set before you. It takes some temperance to say, I see you, devil, but I'm not jumping on that one. You don't get to choose what battles I fight. See, we need them both. So we can't be passive with life. Let me get back to this. We can't be passive with life and say, oh, I got 9 coins. At least I did lose all of them. I need to be just thankful. Thank you, Jesus, that I have 9, and I'm appreciating the 9 more than I did before. And I thank you that I'm learning, I'm growing. Have you ever heard people say that? Sounds so spiritual, don't it? You know what's even better than appreciating 9? Getting the 10th back and appreciating that one too. Did you? And until you get that righteous indignation on the inside of you that says, wait a minute, what the devil's stolen, he needs to restore. You'll never pursue what God has for you. Until you get that righteous indignation, dissatisfaction on the inside. Again, not being greedy, but like the prodigal son who became aware that where he was at was less than what his father had provided. And say, wait a minute, my heavenly father has provided more. He didn't intend for me to go through a bad situation, a walk away, and never be happy again. He never intended me to walk through life, never trust in anybody again. He never intended me for my heart to be in pieces emotionally. And me being, have you ever seen somebody? I mean, all you gotta do is watch reality TV, and if they weren't jacked up before, by the time the end of the few years of that reality TV, have you ever noticed? It's like, let's watch the people fall apart. It does them no good, and it's like all this emotional baggage some people bring in, and it's like they'd rather be all messed up and famous. Come on, somebody. It's like, you don't need to tell everybody in the world you're... We already knew you had baggage when you walked in. Now you made it just confirmed it to everybody. There are people out in the world, some of them are just crazy. They got so much baggage. Why? Because they allowed life to deal them a deck, beat them up, and they thought, well, at least I just came through. At least I just survived. If I can learn something, that's good enough, but I'll never be. No, your Heavenly Father's called you to be made whole. To be made whole. Some people he healed. Some people, based on the response to him, he made whole. Which means no sign, no mark. Remember the 10 lepers? And the one came back and worshiped him. And he said, wasn't there 10? They said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they left him still in the position they were, but obeyed what he said, as they obeyed, even though they didn't see it, as they obeyed, even though they didn't see it, as they obeyed, even though they didn't feel it, as they obeyed and they didn't have any physical signs of anything happen, but as they obeyed, because you don't go show yourself to the priest until you're healed. But he sent them before they saw it. And as they, Mark 11, 23, 24, and as they believed they had it before they could see it and obeyed the instruction of the word of God, they begin to see that they were healed. And only one came back. And Jesus said, fell down and worshiped him. And Jesus said, wasn't there 9? And only one came back to give me thanks and to worship me. And he said, rise up and go and be made whole. Which means now, not only is the disease that was eating at you, the disease that was eating at your flesh, the disease that was eating at your emotions, the disease that was eating at your finances, the disease that was eating at your marriage, the disease that was eating in your memory and your thinking, the disease, whatever thing the devil had used as a weapon against you has not only been broken, but now I'm removing the very existence of it ever having been there again. He's a restorer. He's the finder of lost coins. He's the finder of lost coins. He's a finder. I'm believing that there's going to be a day, a revival. We've had revivals where people got physically healed, but I believe there's going to be a day, where a revival of thousands of people who get not only healed physically, but get healed in the area of their emotions and their soul. Because you can be healed physically, but if you're broken and you're devalued and your soul is broken and you don't see no value in you, you can't love people. I mean, the two greatest commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you hate yourself, well, no reason here. We understand why people in the world hate people and do hateful things, because hurt people hurt people. They hate themselves and they spew the hatred on everybody. But when you get in the presence of Jesus, you can be made whole. And when you're made whole, you can not only love him, you can love yourself. Say, I don't need to be broken any longer. He's the finder of lost coins. Our key verse comes out of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. The company of the prophet said to Elisha. Now this is the context of Elisha in the Old Testament. And they'll fix that. And the company of the prophets said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. You know what a thing I like about that? And it's so relevant even in our journey right now as a church. Look, the place where we meet is too small. They didn't say it's too small for you, Elisha. They said it's too small for us. I can dream big all day, but if you're not dreaming big with me, it makes no difference. You have to catch the vision of what God wants to do through Hope Church. Amen. If all it is what you get out of it, you'll never reach the potential of what God has for you. You have to catch the vision of what God wants to do through the local house that he's made you a part of. Don't shout me down. Because this is a connection to you getting your lost coin restored. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added to you. When your top priority is you, your top priority will never be fulfilled. Let me say that again. When your top priority is you, your top priority will never be reached or fulfilled. Let me say that again, because it's going to tick a few more people off. When your top priority is you, your top priority will never be reached or fulfilled. I'm not trying to talk negative or speak negative in your life. I'm trying to get a perspective here, because Jesus said that when you live your life for yourself, you'll end up with no life. But when you give your life up for me and the gospel's sake, then you'll find true life. The Living Translation says. Most people are struggling to try to find true life, and so the sense of true life is a priority, but they don't understand when you make you and your wants and needs for true life a priority and you think everybody's there for you, you end up with less, not more. There's Proverbs says, there is he that scattereth and has increase, and there's he that holds on to everything and has less. It's the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man. Just like the kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness are opposite, so the ways of God are totally different than the ways of the world. When you make your wholeness the top priority instead of God, use me to help make somebody else whole. Okay, I know that's going over well, so we'll just keep moving on. Because you have to light a candle before you can find the coin. Did you hear me? The woman lit a candle. The entrance of his word brings light. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and light in my path. When you begin to make the word a priority in your life, more than your life, and I'm not saying let people control you with the word. There's some people that use the word as a bat. That's not acceptable, in my opinion. Did you hear me? Because someone quotes and says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean it's God speaking to you. It's got to be in line with the word of God and be in alignment with what God's speaking to you in the moment. Did you hear me? You drive your own ship. That doesn't mean everything goes. That doesn't mean that, I can sin any way I want because pastor said I'm in the driver's seat. Well, if you're sin any way you want. You are welcome. You have this thing called a will. We got to get back to that. And I don't mean to sidetrack this, but everybody has this thing that God's given us called a will, a choice. You choose, even Old Testament, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Pastor says I can sin. You can sin. And if you sin, you're going to go to hell. But now you know, if I get in the car and if I drive off the bridge, take a sharp right, when I'm halfway on the bridge, I'm probably going over and hit the water and most likely die. Right? I mean, some of you hate the bridge. And when you get on that bridge, you think, I got to keep going straight, right? Because I know if I go sharp right, it is what it is. So what do? Don't go right. Keep going straight. Get in the driver's seat of your life. You can sin if you want to sin, but if you sin, you entangle yourself in the empowering the devil over your life, and you most likely, the wages of sin is death, you'll find yourself living a life full of the death of what the devil has for you, not what God has for you. And if you keep on that path, guess what happens? You're going to go to hell. But now you know. Don't make it so sappy, sobby, crying, oh me, that's hurtful. No, you chose. I love you enough to tell you the truth that if you want to go to hell, you can go to hell. Don't matter who you're related to, don't matter who you know, don't matter who's praying for you, you choose. Okay. The company of the prophet said to Elisha, look to where we meet. It is too small for us to. Let us go to Jordan where each of us can get a pole and let us build a place for us to meet. Notice they not only caught the vision of what God wanted for the house, they were willing to contribute and be part of the answer. You know what has happened in the church world? I'm thankful not here in the name of Jesus. But a lot of people want to be entertained, and they say, you provide it and we'll come. Almost like that movie, you build it and we'll come. They don't want to be a part of the solution. They just want to reap the benefits of something already provided by other people. And they miss the miracle that God has for them. Sure, they can still come. Sure, they can enjoy service. But they'll never find the coin that God has for them. And they live their life settling for what they have or what has not been taken, and trying to be grateful, hoping that nothing else will be taken, and not positioning themselves in a place of strength. And he said, go. Verse 3, we got to move quick here. Then one of them said, won't you please come with the servants, with your servants? And Elisha said, yes, I will. This is NIV translation, verse 4. And he went with them, and they went to Jordan and began to cut down trees. All right, let's move this thing faster. Verse 5, and one of them was cutting down a tree, and the iron axe had fell in the water. Oh, no, my Lord, he cried out. It was Baal. Now, notice what's happening. He's doing something good. He's doing something for the kingdom of God. And in the doing something, he borrowed something, and the something he borrowed, he lost in the process. See, this doesn't happen just because you did something wrong. Now, some people don't need the devil. I'll be honest with you. Some people blame the devil, and I know he's sitting there going, I wasn't even close. Don't blame me. Honest God, I know I like taking credit for stuff, but I wasn't even there. Some people, they self-destruct. It's like left alone. They talk bad about themselves. They make bad choices. It's like hitting yourself with a hammer. You can't figure out why you're in pain. It's the devil. It's not you. I mean, it's not the devil. It's you. Don't you love the truth? I mean, when things aren't going right, sometimes you got to be honest. And I'll be honest with the Lord. Show me, what am I doing? What's my part of this mix? Show me. Be open and available for God to show you. He cried out, it was borrowed. So that means it can happen to anybody. Even when you're doing something good, you can deal with the challenge of the enemy. But notice the next verse. The next two. And the man of God said, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, isn't it amazing how you can always remember the place where you've lost something? I can't remember sometimes what I had for dinner 2 nights ago. Come on, you know you're the same way. But I can remember when 19... And that person broke my heart. Isn't that wild? Isn't that amazing how your memory? I can remember every whooping my brother and sister got. When he showed him the place, oh, come on, lighten up. We're out of time. Showed him, and Elisha cut a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. Now, a stick never makes iron float. But when God's behind something, he can do the impossible. Isaiah 55:10, rain and snow waters the earth and makes it produce. God can make things happen for you. made the iron float. Verse 7, last part of this verse, lifted out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Notice the three things that happened there. While he was doing something good, and the enemy tried to steal what he had in his hand to do something good. Number one, he cried out to God. Number two, he brought God into the situation. He just didn't cry. He said, Lord, and he obeyed the instruction. And three, he pursued and reached out and grabbed it. What did the woman with the lost coin do? She cried out to God. She lit the candle. She began to pursue it, and then she got a hold of it. I want to challenge you. Don't just cry over spilt milk. Go to God. Lord, that broke my heart. That's really desensitized me, or that's hurt me, or that's caused me to not trust people, or I've lost some joy in this. And your word says that I don't have to live with the loss. Don't live with the loss, because he's the finder of lost coins. And in the name of Jesus, I speak an anointing over your life. That starting this day, the anointing of God will come upon your heart and your mind, and he will restore back into your life. He's the finder of lost coins. If it's peace, if it's joy, if it's strength, trust, whatever it is, if it's finances, whatever it is, that as you pursue him, trust him and pursue him and obey his word, that you're going to see, reach out and grab it. Don't be passive. Be aggressive. Reach out and grab what belongs to you as he brings the opportunities in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.